Okay, I know we are coming into back to school life for all of us with children out there, and I am all about something that makes your life easier or your life as a parent easier or helps kids get their vitamins or their nutrients easier. So let me tell you about something today called Little Critters. So it's back to school time, and this is one of my secrets for back to school. And between backpack browsing and outfit arranging, there is a drama-free way to make vitamins part of your kids' morning routines. And that is Little Critters Gummy Vitamins. So my kids think they're eating fun, delicious gummy bears, all while they're actually getting their essential nutrients for their health and development. I will never tell them that part. Little Critters is a pediatrician recommended kids multivitamin gummy brand and a super yummy way to start the school year. So if you guys want to find an easier way to get kids their vitamins starting this school year, because we already have a million other things to worry about, shop now. Back to school season can be stressful on families. With all of the changing schedules, with practices and after school activities, it seems like everyone is constantly on the run. Let me tell you about something that will ease your mind with all the craziness of family. Life 360 is a family connection and safety app that lets you track your family members' locations in real time, so you can better coordinate, communicate, and keep track of everyone's comings and goings throughout the day. My kids, of course, are too young to have cell phones, but when they do, one day down the road, we will be using Life 360. But I've gotten familiar with the Life 360 app, and one of my favorite features is the Place Alert. Life 360 Place Alert notifications let you know when they arrive and when they leave a location, like school, practice, a friend's house, or the bus stop. You can stay connected without constantly bugging them. Life 360 has your family's back when they're on the road with all things like crash detection, emergency dispatch, roadside assistance, and driver report cards, which are perfect for those freshly licensed drivers. Coordinate the chaos of the back-to-school season with Life 360. Visit life360.com or download the app today and use code LIVINGFULLY to get 1 month of the gold package free, plus 15% off all tiles. That's life360.com, code LIVINGFULLY. Hey y'all, this is Mallory Irvin, and it's time for all of us to live fully. It's so important in this crazy world of ours that we stay connected, inspired, and motivated to be and do our best. And that's not always easy. I'm here with my guests and friends to share the stories and lessons we've learned to help you live your best life every day and truly begin living fully. Let's make it happen and get started with today's episode. All right. I am so excited to be sitting here today with, I can truly say, one of my favorite authors. And she just happens to live in Nashville, Tennessee. So I get to be sitting at my kitchen table with one of my favorite authors. This is Jessica Turner. I now can call you my friend.
Yes, you can. And forever. You're stuck with me.
So I want to tell you a little bit of a backstory, how I just fell in love with Jessica. Jessica is a blogger, a mom of three. An author of two books, correct?
Two and a half.
Two and a half.
There's a gift book, so we'll give that a half book.
Okay. And I listened to a lot of books on Audible, and I had downloaded your book, Stretched Too Thin, and it was suggested to me, and I downloaded it, and I started listening to it, and I stopped washing my hair in the shower, and I was just like, wow, I have to get out of the shower and write down what she just said. It was one of those books. Aww. To me. It was amazing.
That means so much to me. I can't even fully describe it.
Well, you and your words meant so much to me. So can you just, for anyone who doesn't know you, just tell us a little bit about yourself and your family and your books, just kind of what you do.
So one additional thing that I do that I think is important, particularly in the context of what we're talking about, is that I have a full-time day job. Mm-hmm. So I work in corporate marketing for a large healthcare company here in Nashville. And so the blog, the speaking, the book stuff, all of that, the parenting and a marriage is on top of a 40-hour a week, you know, job in an office, J-O-B.
That's amazing.
And so it is a lot. But you know what? It's not too much. Like, it is the right mix for us. And people say, how do you do it all? How do you do it all? And the answer is I don't do it all. And I talk about that a lot on my online platforms and in my books. I'm really comfortable with good enough is good enough. Y'all, I wish you could be in Mallory's house right now because it is gorgeous. And it is cleaner than my house ever is, including right after my house cleaners have left. Like, my house never looks this
oh
good.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's because I'm just like, you know what? It's fine. Like, there's some junk around. Like, I believe that it's more important for my kids to have me present and be hanging out with them at night than worrying about, like, making sure that the kitchen is spotless.
I love that.
You know,
about
like that
you.
Type of thing. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I hope to do, is just encourage busy women right where they're at that good enough is good enough, and that if they are thriving and they are investing in the things that really matter to them, that they're going to have healthy, happy lives.
Exactly. And that's why your book just resonated so much with me. And by the way, for all of you listening, my house is clean because my house cleaners just left. You know what I've gotten really good at in my life is asking for help and hiring help when I can. And, you know, it's made my life so much easier because I, like you, I lived in a time in my life where I was, the title of your book, stretched too thin. And I wasn't even a mom yet. And I'm so happy that I learned those lessons as a young person, that you can't just keep giving and giving to other people if you're not giving to yourself, if you're not taking the fringe hours. I love the fringe hours. I was like, what are the fringe hours? The title of her first book is The Fringe Hours. And it's about just that. It's about finding that time to, you know, that you make that time for yourselves, diving into your passions and taking care of yourselves and however that looks. But there are so many things that I want to get to with you. I've got this piece of paper in front of me that's a mile long, but I want to keep these podcasts short and sweet because I know you guys are all busy working moms too.
Well, I think you're setting the stage really well for the idea that we must subscribe to the oxygen mask philosophy, which is what they say on a plane, that you've got to put your oxygen mask on for yourself mm-hmm. before you can help the child that's on your lap or the child that's next to you. And the same is true for us in life, that we've got to take care of ourselves first. And when we do that, we're healthier, we're happier, we're better wives, moms, friends, coworkers, creative entrepreneurs, whatever, all of that is better when we're taking care of ourselves, because we can't produce our best work and be our best selves
right.
when we're running on empty. We mm-hmm. just can't.
Yeah. And I love, you know, the title of your book, Stretched Too Thin, How Working Moms Can Lose the Guilt, Work Smarter, and Thrive. And when you sat down today, I was like, I love the word thrive, because that's what kind of living fully, that's my mantra of this podcast. And my whole brand is just, I want people to live their best lives. And you and I both know you cannot live your best life if you're a chicken with your head cut off, running around like crazy. Just, that's no way to live.
And we certainly both have been there, right? And just because I wrote the book Stretched Too Thin, How to Blah, 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 and Thrive, doesn't mean I don't ever have those moments, right? Where I need to cut back and I need to say, okay, right now things are too much. But I think when you can look at life through the lens of, am I thriving or am I just hanging on and barely surviving, it becomes really easy to recognize that faster and fix
yes.
it faster and not
yes.
stay in that place of being constantly stretched too thin, which is, I think, where unfortunately a lot of us live. I surveyed 2,000 working moms for the book, and that's what everyone said. That's where the title came from, because women over and over in the survey responses use that phrase, stretched too thin.
Yeah, totally. So what do you think it means? Like, what does it look like to you to thrive? Because I feel like some people listening to this, they may not be to that breakdown moment. They may just be like, wait, am I living my best life? Am I living fully? Am I thriving? What do you feel like when you feel like you're thriving? What does that look like?
I think I have contentment in my relationships and in the work that I'm doing, that I'm feeling energized in all of those different areas.
That's
great. When I feel like I'm really thriving. And let's just go ahead and say it, Mallory. You can be a great mom and a great working woman.
Yeah.
Those things are not mutually exclusive.
So many people think you have to choose.
And you do not.
And you don't. You know, I was raised by a mom that did not work, and I am a working mom. So I see both sides of it. And I love in your book, too, where you were going through the Gallup polls and the different, you know, you said the sons of working mothers are more likely to be able to do household chores. That's so funny, because I laughed out loud, because my brothers, who had a non-working mom, oh my gosh, they're leaving stuff everywhere. They're the nicest, most successful guys, but household chores are not their thing. Now, my husband, who had a working mom, he does our laundry and our dishes and straightens our house, And, you know, I loved all those little pieces of your book that, you know, that gave it little check marks. Like, yeah, yeah, that's right. Because working moms are moms that are doing things inside the household or outside the household that it can be a great thing. Because that's where that guilt comes in. And I love it that you talk a lot about guilt, because what is this guilt that moms have about taking time, you know, away from their children to work, you know, whether they have to or whether they want to? I feel like we all have it. Even myself, last night I was craving a cheese plate and I was like, oh my gosh, I would love a cheese plate. I would love a cheese plate. Kyle's like, go get a cheese plate. And I was like, I can't. It's almost bedtime and I can't take 30 minutes. And it's so hard, that mom guilt. How do you feel like you in your life got past that guilt?
I think there's always going to be seasons where we feel guilty about something and we wonder if we're doing the right thing. And I think it's important to know that there isn't necessarily just only one right thing, right? It's just my friend Emily says, the next right thing that you can do in this particular situation. Guilt can really point us to a change that we need to make, or it's a lie. I kind of feel like those are the two camps. So what I mean by that is, if I tell a story in the book about how my daughter was at the end of her kindergarten year.
Drawing the picture.
And she drew this picture of like her four favorite memories from the year, and one was daddy. And when I saw that, my husband works from home, he's a children's book writer. And when I saw that, I started sobbing right there in front of her on the couch, just sobbing. And my husband was like, what is wrong? And I said, she's going to remember you at school and me in an office. And I felt so guilty that I had missed that. And, you know, she's five. Like, she just remembered daddy was there last week. You know, it was what was freshest in her mind. And he was like, you are a great mom. Our kids are never going to think, man, my mom wasn't there. My mom was only in an office. Like, that is not who you are. That is not the person you are, the mom that you are. Like, that is not true. And he spoke truth into my life. So he's changed that story for me of guilt. Now, other times guilt can maybe point us to a change we need to make in our schedule or how we're doing something. Like, if you are always feeling guilty for missing your child's basketball games, well, is it because you're working? Can you change your schedule so that you come into work later that day or something like that? Because it's pointing you to something that's important to you.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't just let that guilt sit there. Like, do something about it, or say, you know what? You have no place in my life. This is not true.
So you're saying, like, really do that deep dive, like looking at that guilt. And I really, really love that, because a lot of times, especially in today's culture, I love it that people are talking about guilt and shame. But sometimes you can't just get rid of it, because you're right. Sometimes it is pointing you in the right direction. If I feel like I'm on Instagram too much, I say, okay, I need to go to my iPhone and look at the app saying how much time I spend. This week, have I spent more time? Okay, so I need to cut that back.
Because that time is horrifying, isn't it?
Oh my gosh, isn't
it? I like to say, oh, it's because I was doing this for work. Oh, it was because I listened to an audiobook, when I know how long I was looking at all your stories, let's be honest,
that
right?
That takes all day long. I know. That takes all day long. But I think you said it in either a podcast or a book where you said guilt and struggle and all those things, they're part of the journey. And, you know, it's all about the journey. That's a cliche thing to say, but it really is about the journey. And you can really look to your past. I think you've said this before. You can look to your past and learn a lot of great things. I know the ways I don't want to be from my past, and just running around like crazy, not taking care of myself. All those years I spent doing that, I can look back there and I can really make some great choices that point me in a different direction for my future.
And we have to remember that when it comes to social media in particular, we are so often comparing our lives,
yes,
to other people's highlight reels, right? Like, we've got to stop doing that. And if that comparison is causing guilt and resentment, like, let's look at where that comparison is coming from and what shifts do we need to make? What people do we need to unfollow?
Yes.
Because it's causing negative feelings and toxicity in our life.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. You know, I say that sometimes on my Instagram. I'm like, if my content doesn't make you live a better life or feel good about yourself, I want you to move on to someone else's content. I want you to unfollow, because, you know, you want your space and I want my space. I feel like to be just an uplifting piece of social media. But I mean, I see those moms on there. I see those moms in the hospital that are walking out with a baby in their arms and their stomachs are totally flat.
They need to go away. All right.
I'm like, how in heaven's name did that happen? I mean,
Spanx, a lot of Spanx.
I don't know that it's Spanx. I mean, do they make those underwear you have to wear in right. control top? Maybe I'll ask for those next time. I mean, my Lord, though. It's funny, but that's such a very real thing. There's so many great things about social media. And I apologize for the way that I sound right now. I'm sick, but Jessica and I've been trying to get together for so long. And I was like, we just have to push through today. Jessica encouraged me to push through today. She was like, this is going to actually be great for the topic of being stretched too thin because you're sick and we're running around. And anyways, I just lost my train of thought with that. But regardless, comparing yourself on social media, that's, you know, it's definitely not one of the pluses of this space. And, you know, something that you actually, I'm going to say that my favorite thing of all of the things that you talked about in Stretch Too Thin was something that I recognized in myself, and I think a lot of people do, but you put a name to it. I think one of your friends maybe did, and then you were talking about the mental load.
Yeah.
That all of these moms have, or these, you know, just working people. It doesn't necessarily have to be moms, head of the household, the responsibilities and the things to remember and all of those things. Oh my gosh. I was like, the mental load.
Right. Just having the term to define how yes. we feel, right? I had that aha moment when I was interviewing a woman for the book who first gave me that phrase. And then when I Googled it, my eyes were just opened to all of this research out there about mental load. And her definition was that mental load is the largely invisible work of noticing and remembering.
Yes.
So it's, we need light bulbs. We need to get water. It's time for flu vaccines, like whatever it is that is going on in our minds in America that predominantly falls on the woman in the house.
Yeah.
And so it's this additional job and it's an additional way we're feeling stretched too thin in our lives because we are carrying the brutal load in our minds of all of these things to run our house, run our families, run our jobs. And it's a lot. And so just yeah. being able to give it a name and being able to say, I am feeling really stressed because of this, I think is freeing. And then when we take it to the next step and we ask our spouse or we ask our coworkers or we ask our kids to help with some of that burden, right? That is so freeing. And then we take it to another level and we add systems in place. And this is something as simple as Amazon Prime and Grove Collaborative, where, you know, toilet paper is always delivered to my house. Paper towel always delivered to my house. Like I never run out of juice boxes because it always comes to my house. And when I systematize those things, I'm no longer having to think about, am I going to run out of toilet paper this weekend, right? Because everything is systematized. And so that frees that mental load for me.
That's what I was going to ask. What are some ways to free you of that mental load? Because I mean, wow, if I didn't have that mental load, the meditation that I could do or the podcasts I could listen to or the thinking about, you know, am I living the life that I want to? Am I leaving the legacy I want to? Am I being the kind of mom that I want to be? I feel like that takes up so much space in my mind, the to-dos that don't have to be done today, even to-dos that need to be done like within the next 6 months or a year. It's that the future stuff. I mean, I just feel like as moms, it's like such a natural thing to carry that mental load.
Right. We can't eliminate it, but I think we can reduce it. And I think asking for help is a yes. huge one. I
yeah.
don't think that most of us are very good at asking for help. And you mentioned that you've gotten some help, which is so freeing. I think whenever you can say, you know what, I don't have to be the one to do this. Mm-hmm. That's going to reduce that stretched too thin feeling. I know my husband and I are planning a trip to Italy.
Amazing.
And we're so excited about it. And we're leaving in just a couple of weeks and still don't have everything booked of what we're doing.
That's like, okay.
We're going to Milan and nothing. And it's just been on my mind. I have to get that booked. And I was like, why am I stressing about this? My husband works from home. And so I said, Matthew, can you please book a hotel for Milan for Sunday to Tuesday? And like 30 minutes later, I got the email that it was done. And it's been stressing me out,
isn't
right?
that funny?
And so just ask for help. You don't have to do it alone. You're not meant to do it alone. I mean, you go way back in history and women have always had support. It's very recent that we kind of see this, you know, one woman show thing. That's just not the way people used to live. And so even in other countries, lots and lots of women have help more, I feel like, than in America. So ask for help.
Yeah. And even from, I mean, a lot of people are like, well, I can't afford help. I get it that there are things that cost a lot of money, but there are also, you know, family members that you can reach out to. I have my mom. My mom just left my house. She was helping my sister. And, you know, if you have family or friends, just reach out to anyone.
And your kids. I mean, we are raising kids in America who are better at playing on the computer than they are at making their beds, right? Like, mm-hmm. My kids at five, they can make their own lunch. Mm-hmm. They do not need me to pack their lunches for school. Mm-hmm. And people are horrified. What? You don't pack your kids lunch? No, they can get the cheese stick and the ham and the yogurt and whatever out themselves. Yeah. And so let's teach our kids that it is not free to live and help us out, you know?
It is not free to live. I like that. Yes, that's such a valuable lesson, though. It really is. And a lot of valuable lessons you talk about just how the working mom or, you know, I like on your blog once you were writing about inspiring, you know, leaders and how a lot of that is just, you know, exemplifying a lot of those qualities or encouraging when you see those things happening in them, encouraging those qualities. And, you know, something that you talk about that it's a really real thing for me, and I bet it is for a lot of my listeners, whether they're moms or not, and I do not want to model this for Ford, is this whole culture of busyness and this lie in our society that busyness equals hustler equals success equals you're doing it right. Because if there's anything that I have learned in my life and my journey of the ups and downs and the roller coasters, it is, A, that's my go-to. I want to constantly be doing. There's always something. I'm always finding something else to do. Like your husband told you in the book, like you're always working. You're always busy. And you had to hear that from him. I had to hear that from like a knockdown drag out. Like I was literally going to fall over dead. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I continued my life like this. But I love how you said in your book, you said contentment can be found in the busyness of life. And I think that's twofold. I think, A, we really have to take a step back and realize when we're just busy being busy and when, like, that busyness is just spinning out of control. Because we don't – do you want your kids to end up like chickens? I keep saying chickens with their head cut off.
And you know what? I also want my kids to see me taking care of myself so that then when they're adults, they have memories of the adults in their lives investing in themselves.
Yes.
Let's give them that legacy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I want my kids to know that, you know what? Their parents went out and they invested in their marriage, that their mom hosted book club at their house and it was important to invest in her community.
Yeah.
You know, like that I went away to conferences and that I did creative things and that they saw me do that. It wasn't a secret, right? Because that is something that brings me joy. And that is something that I want to see them do is have joy in their lives and the things that really light them up. And so I'm not hiding that I'm doing that. And I'm not feeling guilty about leaving my kids so I can come over here and do a podcast with you and go on a date night with my husband tonight. Like that is part of life and it's a healthy way to live.
Absolutely. And it makes you a better mom. Like your husband always says to you, you're so much happier when you're reading a book.
Get in a book. For the love, go read a fiction book. That's right. Yes. I am happier when I'm reading a book. And you know, it's interesting. In my first book, The Fringe Hour, is Making Time for You, which is all about self-care. I surveyed all these women and the number one thing that women said they would do if they had more time was read. Isn't that interesting? Like 80% said that they would read. And you know what's so interesting is on average, we wait 45 to 60 minutes a day. And what do we do? We're scrolling on our phone.
Scrolling.
Right? And what could you be doing? Listening to a book or reading the Kindle app.
Yeah.
You know? You could easily be reading during that 45 to 60 minutes.
Wow. So, what were some other themes when you asked for the Fringe Hours when you did that?
Of things that they wanted to do. Exercise was a big one. Taking care of their bodies.
Yeah.
Right? Another big one was being outside. It's interesting when you think about what are the things that you're passionate about or that you would want to do with your free time. It's the same things we want to do as kids.
Yeah.
Be with our friends, read, draw, go outside. You know, the things you liked as a kid, there's an application for that in your adult life.
Yeah.
For sure.
If you've been wanting to learn a new language because you're traveling abroad and you want to experience that country beyond just the touristy spots, then Rosetta Stone is for you. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program available on most devices like your desktop, phone, or tablet. You can learn anywhere. Rosetta Stone teaches through immersion. Instead of memorizing and drilling vocabulary words, you learn by matching audio from native speakers to visuals, by reading stories, participating in dialogues, and other practical language skills to fast-track your ability to communicate fluently. There are no English translations in the product. You're getting trained to listen, speak, read, write, and think in your new language. They offer 25 languages from Spanish to French to Italian, German, Chinese, Korean, Japanese, and even Dutch, Arabic, and Polish. Rosetta Stone has been around for 30 years and used by millions because it works. As you practice speaking, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's also an amazing value. So don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a limited time, Living Fully podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Let me tell y'all about something that my family has used for years. HelloFresh is a meal delivery service with farm-fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy and fun and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. From the planning, to the shopping, to the prep, to actually getting everyone to enjoy what you made, family dinners can be stressful. HelloFresh gets it. They make it easy by delivering fresh ingredients and picky eater-approved recipes right to your door each week. My pickiest eater would probably be my oldest child, Ford, and he even loves HelloFresh meals when we make them. Back to school season comes with a lot. It means shopping, after school activities, and a lot less free time. So skip the meal planning and grocery store runs with nutritious and delicious meals from HelloFresh. Y'all know that we are all about convenience and ease around here, and HelloFresh makes our lives so easy by making cooking enjoyable for the whole family. And let me tell you about a great offer that they are offering my listeners. For a limited time, kids eat free. So go to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids to unlock this exclusive offer. One free kids meal per box for 2 months while the subscription is active. That's free kids meals just by going to HelloFresh.com/livingfullykids. Who doesn't love grilling hamburgers in the summer? Just because it's summer doesn't mean you have to cut out all the carb-heavy foods you love. Hero Bread has reinvented the bread and buns to make having a juicy hamburger and a great summer sandwich so great. Fluffy, delicious flavor, and texture with no net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber. We are loving Hero Bread in our house. My kids are even loving the bread too. Hero Bread has something for every bread lover, including sliced bread loaves, buns, Hawaiian rolls, tortillas, even limited edition 2 gram net carb croissants. And y'all know how much we love a croissant over here. So try Hero Bread today. I know you will love this guilt-free bread as much as we do. Get 10% off your order at hero.co and use the code LIVINGFULLY at checkout. That's LIVINGFULLY at HERO.CO.
So you talk about the 2015 year for you, because I think I might be in the middle of my 2015 year. So you have 3 children. So your youngest is Ezra. Is that right?
That's right.
What are your kids' names again? Ezra?
Ezra, Adeline is my daughter, and then Elias is the oldest.
So you had Ezra. You wrote a book during your maternity leave.
No, I released it during
my... You released it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I turned in the manuscript for the Fringe Hours and then found out I was pregnant. And so I had to do all the edits while puking, you know, 6 times a day. I'm just a horrible pregnant person. I couldn't read the audiobook for the Fringe Hours because I was 8 months pregnant. I had no breath support. There was just no way. I had that awful pregnancy congestion. He was due right around the beginning of the year. I had him New Year's Eve.
Oh, wow.
And then the book came out, I think, February 17th. So 6 weeks later. So I felt like I gave birth twice, right? Like
you did.
Having Ezra. And then I was like nursing while I was doing podcasts and... It was wild. And then I remember flying to Canada to do media, and I had a friend go with me because I was nursing this baby.
I mean, you have a big job too.
Yeah. And then I went back to work. Yes, it was a wild season.
And then Matthew went on an international tour of some sort, correct?
Yeah, he did that fall. He was gone for a month with National Geographic with Morgan Freeman for the first season of Story of God. So he went around and was a photographer and a writer for that and left me home by myself with 3 kids and a full-time job.
Oh,
but, you know, like, you can't say no to Morgan Freeman and National Geographic, right? Like, you know, you've had these types of amazing experiences. He was like, do we know anyone that would want to do this? I was like, you would want to do this, you know? And so, but I think that's so cool when we can support our spouse's dreams.
Yes.
And that is a story that you see again and again in our marriage of us just championing each other and what we're called to do and what we're excited about and our passions. And someone who's listening feels like their spouse is not championing them. I think that's a conversation that needs to be had or some counseling that needs to be had.
Absolutely.
Because it is really important that the person you're spending your life with is your biggest cheerleader.
Absolutely.
And also that you're investing the most in that person, that hopefully someday our kids are going to leave, right? And the person we're left with is our spouse. And
yes.
So we can't neglect that important relationship for 20, 25 years while we are raising babies and then expect it to just be fine.
Isn't that the truth? Nobody plans for that phase in life. But you have to. I mean, now, like, let this podcast be a wake-up call to you. If you're listening to it and you're like, oh, I'm 100% for my kids. There are phases in your life where you have to be more for your kids.
Totally.
But you can't forget. We just started doing date nights, and there are Thursday nights where we're like, I'm so tired. Do you want to go? And Kyle is always like, yes, we're going. It's date night.
That's
and we
so
go,
great.
And we're always so happy that we're on date night. It's like you forget. You forget about your spouse. You really do. And you know what I see? And every once in a while, I'll catch myself doing it. Not a lot, because Kyle and I have a very healthy relationship. We've been through a lot of phases in our relationship, but I'm a huge, huge fan of couples therapy. We love couples therapy. I think it's amazing. And individual therapy. And it's not for relationships that are bad. It's for relationships that are good, I feel
right.
like, too. And helps with communication and so many different things. But I feel like, you know, I talk to a lot of my friends, and I feel like so many couples are keeping score. You were out last night, so you have to stay here tonight. And it's mm-hmm. all about this. I did this, so you have to do this. You have to do, instead of saying, go ahead.
We're on the same team.
We're on the same team. We're both trying. Now, not to say that sometimes maybe there is one parent that's maybe slacking off a little bit, you know, and you're right. That's when you have a conversation. Wow, what valuable information you just shared, because these are the years right now, like while you're in the midst
of crazy.
We're
in the thick of it, right?
We are.
Like, you're more in the thick of it than I am, because let me tell you, sister, I just got done with diapers. Okay, almost 11 years we've had diapers in our house,
how
and I just finished, and it feels like I got a raise, is how it feels. Should have brought you some of my Honest diapers that are still
you
left over in my house. But every season is just that. It's a season. And if you are feeling like your seasons are all the same and they're all overwhelmed and stressed too thin, and that you're not investing in your marriage or yourself, or you're investing too much in work, I want to share this analogy that I include in the book. Somebody said this in the survey, and it was the biggest takeaway for me. So mental load was the biggest one for you. For me, it was this woman said, somebody once told me that we juggle a lot of balls, and there's two types of balls we juggle. There's rubber balls and glass balls. And what that means is the rubber balls are the things that we're juggling, but if they drop, they'll remain the same. They're not going to change. They're going to be exactly the same when you pick them up, whether it's 2 minutes from now or 2 years from now. That rubber ball is going to look the same. The glass ball is the thing that when you drop it, it's going to crack. And eventually, if it gets a lot of cracks, it's going to shatter. And I think we get those balls confused. And we treat our houses like glass balls. And we treat our work like a glass ball. And we treat ourselves like a rubber ball. We treat our marriage like a rubber ball. Like, oh, it's going to be fine if we just skip date night. Oh, it's going to be fine if I skip going to the gym. It's going to be fine if I keep eating that garbage food. And what's happening is crack, crack, crack. And the things that really matter. No one gets to the end of their life and they're so glad that they had a dust-free house. Nobody gets to the end of their life and they're like, man, I am so glad I stayed late at work all of those nights and missed that time with the people in my life, right? No one gets to the end of their life and they're sick with something that they could have prevented because they didn't take care of themselves, right? And so I just think to myself, particularly in seasons where I'm stretched too thin, is, are my balls confused right now?
Wow.
Am I taking care of my glass balls? I think the hardest one for a lot of us is ourselves. To really treat ourselves like the glass balls that we are.
Yeah.
And so that's been really encouraging for me and a great reminder and something I share at all the conferences that I speak at and events that I speak at. I pass out rubber balls for people because I want them to take that little ball and have it in their pocket or in their purse and see it and remember, am I treating myself like a rubber ball or a glass ball?
Wow. That gave me chills. Don't let my spray tan crack. That's pretty amazing. Nothing has made sense to me more than that analogy. A wonderful analogy. We do.
So thank you to that stranger who said that on the survey, and that I'm glad I read all 500 pages of comments because it really made a huge impact on me.
You know, it's so funny because before you walked in my house, this coffee table here, so we're decorating my house in the middle of all this, and this coffee table was there. We got a new coffee table. That had all the Ford Fiesta crap and presents and everything. And for 4 days, I've been saying, Kyle, you got to move that stuff. Jessica's going to come over. We're going to be doing the podcast at the kitchen table. We've got to move that.
Jessica would not have cared.
I know Jessica wouldn't have cared. And it's so funny though. We totally treat, you know, I treat my house like a glass ball. I do sometimes. I think it's because it's new, because I'm a new mom, a new wife. You still kind of fall into that lie of everything has to look good on the outside.
And that's fine. You can love a beautiful house. You can love a clean house. You can be somebody who wants to make sure the kitchen is perfect before you go to bed. I'm a person that I just don't care. I would rather hang out.
I love that about you.
That's fine. But do you, and don't judge somebody who's doing it differently, and don't neglect yourself and the people who matter because you're more worried about those things, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. What a great analogy. I'm so glad that all of this is going to be in the show notes because you need to copy and paste that into the notes on your phone and remember that. That's pretty amazing. Okay, I have two more questions for you because I want to keep these podcasts, I want to keep them concise so that someone can listen to these in the morning on their way to work and feel like they can get that jolt of inspiration and, you know, that advice on how to live their life fully, on how to thrive, on, you know, how just to, we get one life, we get one dang life. And people like you, you can totally change someone's one life by something that you say. And
that's a lot of pressure, Mallory.
But you can't. You changed mine in a lot of ways.
Thank you.
Did. You really did. And how amazing is that? That we live in a day and age where we have blogs and social media and all of these platforms where it's so easy to share positive content. When you're sharing positive content, like I try to, and like you absolutely 100% do. And something that I wanted to ask you, and I'm sorry because I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this before the podcast, but you're good on your toes. What advice do you have? Because my number one fear is raising a child in the era and the age of social media. And here I am, a person who my husband and I both, our career, our livelihood is in social media. And I'm fearful of that. And I don't know if you have any word of advice or if you've even thought about that. Do you have rules around that for your kids yet? Are your kids even to that age?
Yeah. So my oldest, it will be 11 this summer. And he's already asked for a phone. My second grader has told me that there are kids in her class who have iPhones.
Wow.
And my husband and I feel pretty strongly that our children will not get phones anytime soon. And if they do get phones, they will be flip phones.
Where do you even get a flip
it's
phone?
It's certainly, you can totally get them. And they make them because of parents like us. We do not want them to have access to social media. We are against things like Fortnite and stuff. We have very strict boundaries. Our kids can only have iPads on the weekend. Really strict tech boundaries because we think that it's important to protect them from that.
Yeah.
I also try to be boundaried in that we have a landline still.
Wow.
And I keep my phone, I try to, most nights in my purse when I get home from work until they go to bed, or I'll like plug it in another room. I have our charger in the dining room because we'll mostly be hanging out in the living room, so it's not right at my side, so I'm not tempted to pick it up. And I really want to be present for them. They're my glass balls. Mm-hmm. Like Instagram can wait. I don't need to respond to that comment or that DM just because I just got it. And so I have notifications turned off on my phone. And I hope that my kids see me as somebody who's present when I'm with them.
Mm.
And there have been times, and there will be times for you,
when my kids have called me on it. And they're like, put down your phone.
Really?
I remember when my little boy was 3 and he took my face and said, Mommy, look at me.
Wow.
Because I'd been on my phone and I looked up and I saw what he was doing. And we moms do this. You know, we've got like amazing eyes that can see 100 things at once. So I knew what he was doing. He'd build that little thing with his blocks. And he took my face and said, Mommy, look at me. Like he needed me to be fully present, you know? And so I just think teaching our kids the importance of being present, teaching them good manners and being available to them and having conversations with them about boundaries, having conversations about being on social media too much, telling them when I take a break from it because it's hurt my feelings, you know, those types of things, inviting them into that. I also invite my kids into my work online. So they are seen on my site. They will do photo shoots with me. They know that it's for work. They understand the ramifications of that we get this privilege because of my job online. And so we need their support in that. As the little ones are getting older, I will sometimes pay them. And, you know, if I'm doing like an affiliate thing, I'll say, okay, you know, Mommy gets $5 for this. I'll give you $1 for everything, you know, just so they can kind of understand it and kind of bring them into it. So there's also some of those opportunities as well with the work that you and I are in that maybe won't be relevant to everybody. But I think just being really open with them about content and also shielding them. I mean, my almost 11-year-old, for the most part, doesn't get to see PG-13 movies yet.
Yeah.
And that type of thing. You can't go back from that. And so we're just trying to be mindful that whatever we say yes to, we can't take that away as easily.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to protect them as best we can.
I think that's wonderful advice. And like you say, through your books and on your blog and in your podcast all the time, it's modeling things to them, like being present. That's such a big thing.
And you know what? Saying sorry.
When you make a mistake.
Like be willing to own when you do something that you're not proud of and that you wish you could have done differently. Our kids are people.
And like, you're not going to ruin them by spending too much time on Instagram. You say, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm not looking at you. Like, I love how you say that so many times. If you make one mistake, it's part of the journey and it can totally point you in a direction.
There's those blended lines that are going to happen. Ford is going to see you on your phone. My kids see me on my phone, but they understand that I'm working when I'm doing that. And if I'm not working when I'm doing that, if I am just kind of being mindless and I'm with them, I need to remember that rubber ball, glass ball thing again, right?
That's so true. It's not going to matter in 50 years if you responded to a DM immediately, it will, that you played that game with your child.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. And you are just awesome. You bring so much peace to me as a mom, hearing your story of where you've come from and where you are now. And just the amazing grace that you give yourself and other moms. I think you give permission to me as a mom to make mistakes and to change my direction when I feel like I'm not doing it right. And I really, really love that about you and all of the work that you do. And I can't thank you enough for today.
Thank you. It's been this. I've done dozens and dozens of podcasts, and I promise you this is one of my favorites I've ever done.
Oh, really? Because you're my first one that I've ever. And I was so... Because your content means so much to me. I was like, I hope I do her justice because she's so awesome. So
you're a doll.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you. Okay, here's my one last question for you. If you could go back 10 years ago and tell your 10-year-ago self anything, what would you tell them?
Okay, so this is going to be a funny one.
I'm not
going to get serious. So 10 years ago, my Elias would have been about 9 months old. And if you have not looked me up on Instagram yet, I'm Jessica N. Turner. And you might think that I have a large chest now, but let me tell you, it is nothing compared to what I had then. I had a breast reduction and I like Facebook lived through all of that. And I had chronic daily migraines that I don't have anymore. Like it really changed my life. And I would tell myself then, sister, these things aren't going to stay around forever. I promise. They're going to get bigger with subsequent kids. You're not going to be able to believe how big they're going to get, but you aren't going to have them forever and you're not going to have these headaches forever and your life will be changed. I promise you it will be changed someday. That's what I would tell because I remember when I was nursing Elias, he was even tinier than that. My girlfriend was over and she was like, can he breathe in there? I mean, it was not okay. But I successfully nursed all my children. I wouldn't trade all of those moments for the year, for the world. But man, I'm glad that I'm not there anymore. No more back pain, no more migraines. It was a good choice.
Oh, that's the best. That's just the best. I love that. I'm so glad that you went that route with it, because all the information you've given us is like serious. You know, that's a rubber ball. Actually, no, that was a glass ball.
That was a glass ball, because that was me taking care of myself.
Yeah.
It really was. You know, my mom had a breast reduction when I was in college, and she was even bigger than I was. And I think about how transformative it was to take care of my body that way. And it was massive. It was a huge recovery. I had a 4-inch tear in my abdomen. So I had a breast reduction and a tummy tuck at the same time to repair that. So I was having really bad low back pain. They were worried about it herniating. And if I had waited until my kids were in college, that would have been 20 years of pain. And that's what my mom did. And I'm so glad that I said, you know what? I'm not waiting until it's convenient. I'm going to do this now because I need it. My body needs it. And I'm going to be a better mom because of it. So ultimately, it's the same message. It's a funny way of saying it, but it's the same thing. It's recognizing that you matter, your health matters, how you're feeling matters, and that you shouldn't push off your health.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. And if you guys want to check out Jessica's book, Stretch Too Thin, I love. The Fringe Hours, I love. Where can they find the books? And then I want you just to tell us, because our favorite book to read to Ford is When I Pray for You at Night. Aww. So Jessica's husband, Matthew, writes children's books, like really awesome, huge children's books. And you guys have to check this out. I'm going to put this in the show notes as well, because it's such a beautiful little book for kids. Speaking of kids, you can probably hear Ford. He is awake now.
Yeah, he sure is. Yeah, so y'all can find all of our books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target. You can get them pretty much everywhere you get books. I think my books are in the airport. Matthew's books are in the airport.
That's big time.
Yeah, it was pretty fun when I found that out. But yeah, Matthew writes children's books full time. He's got 3 out currently: When God Made You, When God Made Light, and When I Pray for You. And they are just sweet, sweet books. People have compared him to like Dr. Seuss meets the divine. Amy Grant read When I Pray for You and recorded it, and the video went viral with like 1 million views. And it's just the words that we want our kids to hear. I don't think this is bias. And so I love you saying that you love it. It really is a profound message to say over our kids and to have a story time. As much as I read Llama Llama last night, you know, those books have a place and are important in our kids' lives, but to have meaningful children's books that we can have our story times just really transformed is powerful. And that's what he's done with these books. And they are just a joy. So I love that you guys love
them. Oh, we love it. And the momcreative.com is your blog.
Yep. That's my blog. That's where you can get all the details about what our family's doing, travel, speaking. I love going around the country and speaking. So you can find out information about that. Lots of resources related to the book as well. So I can give you a couple of links for the show notes. But it's all on themomcreative.com. And you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Jessica N. Turner.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate your time, because I know you got a lot going on. And I'm just so excited to share this with my listeners. So thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. And thank you so much to my friend, Jessica N. Turner. So look for all of this in the show notes. I'll link everything Jessica Turner in the show notes. And thanks so much for listening.
Thanks for joining us on Living Fully with Mallory Irvin. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss a single minute of encouragement and inspiration to live your best life. Want more? Join us on MalloryIrvin.com so we can connect with you on Instagram and YouTube. Start living your life now. You've only got one. We'll see you next time.
Thank you to Pampers Cruisers 360 for supporting this episode. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.